Turn with me, if you would, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. And we are going to look today at verse 38. We'll read perhaps from verse 35. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll read from 35 to 39, just to put it into its context. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the mixed towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And we want to look today at verses 36 to 39. Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And Jesus said, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues. Now we come this morning to the last Sabbath of the year, the last Lord's Day of the year. And very often, you know, you seek to preach and take a text that would be appropriate for the occasion. As you come towards the end of a year, we would normally seek a text that would be appropriate to the year end. And when I looked at this text, or our study of Mark's Gospel, we're obviously going through Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, I wondered whether this would be an appropriate text for the day. Perhaps we could go to a text like the summer has ended, the harvest is over, the summer has ended, and yet we're not saved, something like that, you know, or some appropriate text for the new year. But the more I looked at this text, and what we have before us here, the more I came to realize just how, in God's providence, these verses are so appropriate to our situation today. I want to look at two things. First of all, a crossroads. And secondly, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Two points that we want to look at today: a crossroads and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, you might wonder how it is that this is a crossroads, how we see this as a crossroads. But I think when you look and consider these verses, there is actually a crossroads that the Lord Jesus comes to and these disciples actually come to. They follow him and they say to him, All men seek for thee. Now, what is the Lord Jesus Christ going to do? There is a crossroads. When we come to the end of the year, and as we enter into a new year, we come to a crossroads. The new year is always a time when you take stock of things past. You take account of things present. You wonder about things to come in this coming new year, as the Lord will spare us. We come to what is like a crossroads. Well, these disciples came to a crossroads. If you remember the disciples, they come to Jesus. And they say to Jesus, All men seek for thee. Now, sometimes when you come to a text like this, it is good for us to try and get into the mind or into the situation that the disciples are actually in here. It is good to us to envisage what is going through the mind of these disciples. If you think of the day that they have had before, they have already seen Jesus at the sea. Remember when he preached from their fishing boat. And then they're now with him in Capernaum. And what a day it was, the day before, the Lord's Day. They had been in the temple with him, where Jesus had sat and preached in the temple and cast out a man with a devil. And then they left the synagogue, and they came then to Peter's house. They came to Peter's house, where Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, and the Lord cures her. And then look what happens later on in the evening, when it says, all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. We discovered that there were many that came to the door that evening, once the sun had gone down, the Sabbath was effectively over, and they came with many diseases. They were ill. All manner of diseases. There was a crowd at the door that night. And Jesus healed them. Now you can imagine these disciples going to their bed that night. They would be tired. They had had a very busy day. But yet, you can imagine their minds racing when they put their head down in that pillow. You imagine in that situation, you would imagine that they would hardly be able to get to sleep thinking about all these people that had come and all the great works that had been done that day, even at the door of Peter's house. Their minds would be racing, and eventually sleep would overtake them and they fall asleep. And it's probably that they sleep in. Very possibly it's people coming to the door that wakens them up. They come to Jesus and say, all men seek for thee. They've slept on, but Jesus, we discover, is already away. Jesus is already praying to the Father. He is up very early and he's away. Remember the sermon we had? There was a time early in the morning. There was a place he went to out in the wilderness, outside of the city, a private place. And there was a purpose. He prayed. Well, these disciples look for Jesus and he's not in the house. And they then go to seek for him. And possibly even as they're making their way out of the city looking for Jesus, people are saying, where is he? Where is this man? I heard last night all that had taken place at the door of your house. And they come to Jesus. And they say to him, all men seek for thee. It's almost an invitation to the Lord Jesus Christ to go back into Capernaum. It's almost an invitation to him. All men in Capernaum, they're all asking after you. They're wondering where you are. All men are seeking for you. It's an invitation almost to go back into the city again. And you can understand why. They would want Jesus to go back into Capernaum. Think of the mighty works that had been done there. Probably you would have said the same. We should perhaps go back into Capernaum. There's a crossroads here though. Because before the Lord Jesus Christ is the option to go back into Capernaum, where all men were seeking for him, perhaps to receive the accolade of all those who had witnessed what had gone on, or to go another road. And you discover that Jesus says, let us go into the next towns, that we may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. You see, Jesus doesn't go back into Capernaum. Jesus goes to the next town, and there he preaches. Now, what do we learn from that at the beginning of a new year? Well, the first thing we learn is this. His ways are not our ways, are they? Remember what the Lord says to Isaiah? My thoughts are not your thoughts, And neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. Perhaps these disciples thought that Jesus would go back into Capernaum, and that there he would receive the accolade of all the men that were seeking after him. But he doesn't do that. I wonder if the disciples were saying to themselves, why go to other towns? In any length of time, these towns will be coming to him. He doesn't need to go to these cities and towns and villages in Galilee. If he only waits, they'll come to Capernaum. But Jesus doesn't do that. Now that teaches us that you perhaps don't know what the future holds for you. But the Lord Jesus Christ does. He knows the way ahead. And the way ahead, it may not be what you think it ought to be. But the Lord knows the way. These disciples didn't perhaps know what the way ahead was. They perhaps thought that it was to back into Capernaum they were to go. But they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew that they had to now leave Capernaum and go elsewhere. Let us come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let us seek the way ahead. Let us come to his word and search his word and find out what is the right way ahead for us. Not what we think, but what does the Lord say to us is the right way ahead in 2013. But you then have to ask the question, why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't go back into Capernaum? Why was it that he says, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth? Why was it that Jesus didn't go back into Capernaum? Why was it that he went to other villages? After all, you imagine that these other villages would have come to him. You imagine if someone came into this building, and I say this with all reverence, I hope, that imagine the Lord Jesus had come into this building and done, or someone had come in and performed the miracles that Jesus had performed. Do you not think that within a very short period of time, you would have all those who were ill and sick and suffering around the streets of Edinburgh, they would be coming here? And do you not think within a few weeks that they would be coming from Glasgow and Perth? And do you not think within a few months they would be coming from Manchester and Newcastle and London? Do you not think that they would be flying them in from America and Australia? Roman Catholicism deceives people with that at Lourdes, and yet they pile in there. Imagine if somebody actually came and performed the miracles that Jesus had performed. Do you not think Jesus wouldn't need to go to these towns and villages? They would come to him. Indeed, we are told in Matthew's Gospel that within a very short period of time, all of Syria were coming, seeking this man Jesus. All men seek after thee. Why then does Jesus leave and go somewhere else? Well, I think we have a clear indication here of the great purpose for which Jesus came into this world. And it wasn't that he would merely be some kind of physician of the body. Jesus had a higher mission than even that. It was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That took first place in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many churches today are down in Capernaum and they don't have the gospel? How many churches today are as though they are at Peter's door with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are taken up with social issues? Let's go out and feed the hungry. Let's go out and do this for the poor. And before long, that's all they're doing. It's a social gospel. Jesus tells us here and gives a clear indication to those disciples that there is one thing that takes precedence even over all the mighty works that he has done. And that is the preaching of the gospel. How many organizations do you know today that have set off well, just like the church in Galatia, they set off well. They do social works, and all very legitimate, but before long, that's all they're doing. And the gospel takes a second place, not with Jesus. Lest anyone would think that he had come just to heal the blind and cure the deaf, lest anyone would think that he has come just to heal the sick, he says, I will go to other cities and I will preach in these cities, for therefore came I forth into this world. It's good that the church does social issues. But let us never, ever be taken away imagining that these issues are the fundamental issues that the church is all about. For all that these apostles, these disciples said to all men seek for thee. Do you know what Jesus later says about Capernaum? Woe to you, Capernaum. Woe unto you. For if the mighty works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that had been done in you, you would have repented long ago in they would have repented in sackcloth and in ashes. You see, what they were following him for wasn't because they trusted in him, but it was because he had healed. And the most important aspect for the church and for the Lord and for these disciples was that he would go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that brings us to apply that even personally to our own lives. Let us apply it to ourselves. There is something even more important than the body. There is something that's even more important than supposing you are ill, supposing your body starts to fail you. There is something that is even more important than that, and that is your undying soul. It's far more important. I think that's what Jesus is saying here. He went and he did continue to heal, and he continued to the blind could see and the deaf could hear and the lepers were cleansed. Yes, they were. But all of that was secondary to the greatest need of all, and that was the soul. What will it profit you today if you would gain the whole world and yet you would lose your soul? What does it profit those in Capernaum if they are now healed and yet they are lost? What would it profit that man in Capernaum who was full of disease and who is now cleansed and is now healed, if at the end of the day he goes into a lost eternity? Where is Capernaum today? Not only do you not find those people who had been cleansed and healed and had been greatly blessed, had seen mighty works done among them, not only do you not know and see them today, you don't even know. You can hardly see where Capernaum is today. As we enter 2013, we come to a crossroads. And let us ask ourselves this, what is most important to us? Is it our health? Is it our goods? Is it what we own? Is it what we have in this world? Are these the most important things to us? Or is it your soul? Your undying soul. You have an undying soul, and that is more precious. And Jesus left those whom he had performed mighty works on their bodies. He had cleansed them and healed them. But he left them in order to preach in other cities. A crossroads. But secondly, we notice the reason why he left was that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. He went to preach. The preaching, and in Matthew's gospel, we are told that he preaches the gospel of the kingdom. He's preaching. The great commission that's given to the church is not go forth and feed the homeless. That's a good thing to do, perhaps. It's not go forth and take care of the poor and the needy. That's good. Jesus does that too. But the great commission that is given to the church is go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. Go forth and preach the gospel. The importance that Jesus and the emphasis that Jesus places here on preaching. I wonder if the disciples, when he said that, said to himself, well, wait a minute. Surely the greatest work is down in Capernaum. Surely if we return to Capernaum, there are more people there that will see wonderful miracles. Jesus says, no, let's go and preach. You see, the wisdom of God. And the foolishness of God is wiser than men. It is through the preaching of the word that men will be blessed. What store do you lay upon the preaching of the word? As you come to the end of 2012, as you enter into 2013, what emphasis do you place on the preaching of the word? Can I suggest to you today? You perhaps are here and you come to one service a day. One service on the Lord's Day in the morning. Can I suggest to you, my friend, that you come to the evening service if you don't come? Because you don't know the great value that Jesus placed upon preaching the word. And you don't know when the Lord will greatly bless the preaching of the gospel to you. You don't know that when you turn up perhaps on a Sabbath evening, the Lord may open your heart and he may pour out a blessing upon you. If you come to one service, think about in 2013. Why don't you say to yourself, I'll go to the evening service. I'll start anew and I'll go morning and evening. I would encourage you to come to the preaching morning and evening. Perhaps you're here this evening and you do come to today and you do come to two services. What about the prayer meeting? Why not come to the prayer meeting? If you're coming to two services on the Lord's Day, what about Thursday evening? You never know that when you come to the prayer meeting, again the Lord may richly bless you. Not only you come among the Lord's people and the Lord's people are praying for the cause, praying for the kingdom of God. Come to the prayer meeting. Be under the sound of the gospel at every opportunity. Make 2013 a new resolution that you'll be where Christ is lifted up in the preaching of the word. Start 2013 that way. And my friend, if you were to start morning and evening, yes, perhaps even in the prayer meeting as well, 2013 could be the best year you've ever experienced. Jesus went from town to town and he preached. What did he preach? That's important as well, isn't it? Matthew tells us that he went, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, we are told that he preached the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom. Mark's gospel, chapter 4, and I think it's verse 23. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. What does he mean by that? Well, Jesus preaches the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come to this world. You know, he preaches about the church as a kingdom. You know, this congregation that you're a part of here today is a visible sign of the kingdom of God in this world. The kingdom itself is invisible because it is a kingdom that is established in the hearts of sinners. It is a spiritual kingdom that is established in the hearts of sinners, but has a visible aspect in this world. And it's a kingdom that was spoken of way back in the Old Testament. I believe that the Lord's people are not a kingdom. They are a family in Abraham's day. God's people are a family with Abraham, Father Abraham, as the head. And it's a family. But there is a promise given to Abraham that there would one day be a kingdom, that in his seed, we read of that in Galatians, in thy seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. There will be a day come where that family will be a great and mighty kingdom. David takes the throne of Israel. Now it is no longer a family with Abraham. Now it is a king. It is the nation of Israel with a king. But there is the promise that David's kingdom would be an everlasting kingdom. And now Christ, David's greater son, comes into this world. And there he establishes the kingdom. Christ comes into this world as the king. You see him as the king. When Jesus says to these disciples at this crossroads, they come and say, all men are seeking for you. We'll go back. He says, we'll go forward. And they follow him. They follow him. He is the king. He is the king. And he has established a kingdom. Now we notice that already Jesus has rejected all the kingdoms of this world. You notice that? Earlier on in Mark's Gospel, Jesus, he speaks about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil comes to the Lord Jesus and he takes him up into a mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and he says, all these will be yours if you only bow down and you worship me. Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. He rejects all the kingdoms of this world because he has his own kingdom, that spiritual kingdom, that kingdom which he has come into this world in order to establish. And you know what he says? The disciples were frightened of the future. Remember that. The disciples were frightened. How would they be fed? How would they be clothed? You're coming to the end of 2012 and maybe you're frightened of the future. What does the future hold for you? You don't know, do you? We worry over the future. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We worry about what's going to happen the next month. And the Bible tells us, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? And Jesus establishes this when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus is forsaking all the nations, all the kingdoms of this world. And he is now going out preaching the gospel. And he is seeking first his own kingdom. And my friend, you come to the end of 2012 and you begin 2013. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or are you seeking the kingdoms of this world and your own righteousness? What folly. What folly. How do we enter into the kingdom that Jesus speaks of here? He goes out and he preaches the good news of the kingdom. The king has come, and the king now preaches his own kingdom. And the king now draws in his own people. He leaves behind those in Capernaum who had seen mighty works and yet do not repent of their sins. Christ draws his own people into this kingdom. But my sheep, he says, hear my voice, and they follow me. We first of all need to repent of our sins and come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news. I preached a few weeks ago on the gospel, good news. And we saw how that news was, news is something that you don't do anything. You hear that news. It's something that's happened and it's conveyed to you. Jesus now conveys that something is happening. The Messiah has come. The promised seed to Abraham has come. The promises that were given to Abraham are now being fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe this glad tidings, good news. It was good news. Does that mean to say that as Jesus went out, because it's good news, that there is never anything that is disturbs the sinner? That sometimes is what's portrayed. I heard recently, just last week, of one minister who says, I don't frighten people. I don't go to the pulpit to frighten people. The same congregation last weekend had Christmas crackers in all the seats. Sabbath morning. They all pulled the crackers and wore that. That's exactly the good news that Jesus brings. My friend, I don't enter into a pulpit with the intention of frightening anybody. I pray the Lord would frighten us. I pray that we would tremble like Felix trembled when he heard the apostles speak of temperance, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Felix trembled under the preaching of the apostle. When Jesus went out to preach in these cities, it was no laughing matter. It was not a place of jokes. It was the most serious and the most solemn issue that he was preaching on. The gospel of the kingdom. And he preaches it to sinners. And it's as though he's saying here, yes, there were those who came last night with diseases and illnesses, and I healed them, I showed compassion on them. He still did that. But it's as though he's saying there's something even more important. Even something that's more fundamental. That is your relationship to God. And he went out and he preached, repent. Repent of your sins. My friend, how can you repent of your sins? And how can you come in faith? You can't. You need the grace of God in your life. You need to be born again. And if you come to the end of 2012, entering into 2013, have you been born again? Have you been brought to repent of your sins, to be prostrate before God? And to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy upon me. And you know, just as Jesus the night before healed all these that were those who were diseased, he came and he, when those came to him in repentance, when they came and they cried, Lord, have mercy upon me, he healed their souls as well. My friend, you come at the end of 2012 and you cry to the Lord Jesus Christ, think of all the sins and the unrighteousness that I have committed over the past 12 months. Think of all the sins that accrue to me, that are on my hands, that are in my lips, that's in my mind. Lord, forgive me. And that's the glory of this kingdom, that he uses the preaching of the gospel to bring hell-deserving sinners to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because we have none of our own. And we repent of our sins, and we turn from them with grief and with hatred. Repentance where a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and an apprehension of the mercy of God, turns from his sins and endeavours after a new obedience. My friend, today, do you know what it is to strive after and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and in love, to repent of your sins and to trust in him alone and in nothing else and in no one else? And I wonder if even these disciples at this point in time, when they came and they said, all men seek for you, I wonder if Jesus could have said, well, all men seek for me, but I seek for mine own. I have come into this world, and I seek mine own, and I find them. And my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My friend, as we come to the end of another year, and into the beginning of a new year, let us seek first the kingdom of God, to be part of that kingdom spiritually. It's a kingdom that reigns in the hearts of his people. It's a kingdom that is spiritual. It's a kingdom that hath none end at all. And if we seek his kingdom and we seek his righteousness, then we will be blessed in the new year in a way that we can neither think nor even imagine. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for the gospel of the kingdom of thy Son Jesus Christ. The good news that in days past thou hast sent thy servants, now thou hast sent thy Son. We thank thee for the parables of the kingdom, that the seed is sown, and that seed that is sown will fall by the wayside, will be choked, will be scorched, but yet it will also fall upon the good ground, and it will bring forth fruit to thy praise and thy glory. We thank thee for the kingdom where Jesus Christ reigns today, and we bless thee that today we are able to call upon his name. Bless us now, undertake for us, pardon us all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 72, we'll conclude in Psalm 72 from verse 7 to 11. The just shall flourish in his days and prosper in his reign. He shall, while doth the moon endure, abundant peace maintain. His large and great dominion shall from sea to sea extend. It from the river shall reach forth unto earth's utmost end. They in the wilderness that dwell bow down before him must, and they that are his enemies shall lick the very dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles to him shall presents bring, and unto him shall all forgive, Shebus and Sebus king. Yea, all the mighty kings on earth before him down shall fall, and all the nations of the world to service to him shall. Psalm 72, from 7 to 11, the just shall flourish in his days and prosper in his reign.
The just shall flourish in his days and prosper in his reign. He shall smile upon the moment sure, upon the feast sent in. His heart and his dominion shall from sea to sea extend. It from the river shall reach forth unto earth's utmost end.
And they're God willing, the service this evening at 6:30. The New Year's Day service is here at 11 a.m. And the prayer meeting on Thursday at 7:30. The services next Lord's Day are at the usual hours. There is no service this afternoon in Cala Shields. These are all the intimations. They are all God willing. We'll conclude with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.